the internet, and welcome to season 33, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for May 29th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I want something else to get me through this. Semi-charmed Jack O'Brien, baby, baby. Ah, that's courtesy of the goat Chapman Rice. And
could have gone harder. Could have gone further.
I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Now you caught Miles' heart for the evening. Kiss Miles, she's moved, and you confuse things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find Miles Gray.
Now why you want to go and do that, love, huh? Okay, that is a Tribe Called Quest, a.k.a. from at the No Call No Show, Michael Ian on Twitter. So weird that you hit me with that a.k.a. I was just at a Dodger game, and I was playing, and one of my favorite Tribe Called Quest songs.
Just so you know, Lori, we do this for about a half hour, just sing our names back and forth. Yep. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the great comedy writers and stand-ups working, also a New York Times bestselling author. She's Lori Kilmartin.
Thank you. What's up? That was quick. I thought I was going to... I didn't know I'd be jumping in so quickly.
Oh yeah, we get ready. You thought we would sing more?
Yeah, I
did. You were ready for that?
I was hoping.
That was the first act.
Yeah. Lori, what is something that you have researched or searched on the internet recently?
Chin implants.
Chin implants?
Yes.
Because that is a thing that apparently Ivanka Trump got.
Yeah. She, okay. In fact, that kind of recently I noticed hers again because I made some kind of snarky comment about how if she had her original nose, we'd be much more angrier about all the trademarks she just got in China.
Right.
But because she's pretty, she gets a pass. You know, No one seems to care.
Yeah.
And then someone showed me some old pictures of her and I was like, oh, yeah, she had a chin implant. And I was like,
chin implant? You know what?
I wanted one a long time ago. And I also was going to have my jaw broken and realigned because I might have a gummy smile. And I was like, that's why I don't have an HBO special. So I'm like, let me do what I got to do. But then I went to a dentist and he said, why don't you just not smile as hard? And although
the dentist,
yes, because I was asking him to do major surgery.
Right. They're like, can you bring my gum line up?
Yeah. He goes, you can solve your problem by just, you know, controlling your smile a little bit more. And which you can't normally in a laugh. You're just who you are. Yeah, but I was like, oh, okay.
Why don't you curb your happiness, Lori?
Yeah,
that's the solution. Not breaking your jaw.
It was way cheaper, but that was a search for about a year of before and afters on gum surgery and how people fix their jaws or change them.
Is it what's the? I know a nose job is a rhinoplasty. So what is a chin job?
Chin implant.
No, but you know, it must have some fancy medical
term. You're right. I don't remember.
I guess just a chin augment. Oh wait,
chin augmentation.
No,
surgery.
Blepharostomy? Blepharoplasty?
Okay.
Oh,
B-L-E-P-H, right?
B-L-E-P-H,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, it's worth people...
Oh, wait. This is for the eyelids? And the eye region? Okay. We're all... Yeah. Well, Google, you failed me.
If you get your chin... Get your chin enhanced. It naturally brings your eyelids up, I think, is how that works. But people who think Ivanka Trump is pretty, go look at a picture of her. She's not like ugly before. It's just, it's so interesting, like how she constructed her whole face.
Oh, God, I know.
From scratch.
It's precision engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a glow up.
And it is also proof that plastic surgery can be good these days, even though I don't know. I think back in the day, and even still, a lot of people that you see in Hollywood, it's like, oh, they've had plastic surgery. But I wouldn't know, looking at Ivanka Trump, that she's had constructed her face wholly from scratch.
You only see real beauty.
I only see beauty in her.
I only look at the form and I say, this is aesthetically pleasing to me.
Exactly. Lori, what is something that is overrated?
Okay. I had a tie between avocados and the internet.
Wow. Let's go avocados first.
Okay. They have a disgusting texture.
They do.
It's really gross.
Really?
I can't get over it. And they don't really have a taste. Like, I have to, if I were to eat avocado, I would have to salt it heavily.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get past the texture.
And you choose, you choose not to.
I avoid it completely. And I don't like guacamole either.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Do you not like hummus?
I don't mind hummus.
You don't mind hummus?
Yeah. So there's something a little too creamy about avocado
uh-huh.
that is unsettling
to me.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like nature's butter.
It is.
I don't know. The first time I had it in a soup, butter is nature's butter. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's
I won't
avocado.
Stand for this.
Yeah, I guess I'm a millennial, so if you cut me open, I'll just spill out avocado.
And I don't like that it's labeled a fruit, right?
Oh, because it has a pit, and technically that
is that why?
Isn't that usually like
that's it, right?
Didn't the Supreme Court have to like the
it was
definition of
a
tomato
split,
or something?
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Exactly. It went right down to the wire.
Kennedy sided with the conservatives on that. And
because
it
of some like taxation thing that like fruits are different than vegetables.
Right.
Yeah, they've had to determine all sorts of weird
shit. I guess
shit.
It is technically a fruit.
And Lori, why is the internet overrated, other than the obvious reasons that it's terrible?
Besides the obvious, well, it tricked us, because I think at first it just seemed like it was a solution to loneliness for me, especially like chat rooms and stuff like that. And now it's just horrible.
Were you like a prolific chat room user?
Yes, I was on AOL very early.
Wow, what was your screen name?
Annie Lori.
Any Lori. N-E or any Lori?
A-N-Y. L-A-U-R-I-E. It was the opposite of this. There's this like Viennan or Austrian princess named Annie Lori.
Oh.
And I just, my name was Lori Ann, so I just sort of flipped it around.
Okay.
Because I might have had a Princess Diana fetish at the time.
Yeah.
But
it's also a fun play on like, I know there are celebrities who are like that Shaquille O'Neal or this, you know, someone
Annie
and you're
Lori.
Like, I'm Annie Lori. Just whichever Lori you want me to be,
yeah,
I will
this
be.
This was before that though, but I'll take credit for
I think you should.
Being very blasé about my uniqueness.
I also think that it has had a weird sort of, it's like a synthetic cure for loneliness that has actually made us more lonely. That's not a new observation, but.
I know, it's hard to criticize the internet without sounding like every tweet you've ever read about it.
Yeah.
But it really.
Despite bringing us closer, we couldn't be further apart.
Right.
Basically that take you see every time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Miles, you probably didn't grow up without the internet at all, right? It's always been in your life?
Well, no, because I was born in 84.
Okay.
So, like, the internet for me, I didn't really start using it until maybe 93 or 94.
Yeah.
So, up until about 10 or 11, I was just like, the computer was like the thing my dad told me to not fucking touch ever.
Okay.
I was like, yo, I paid a lot of money for that. So, I was like, I just want to play the early version of Prince of Persia. And yeah, so I'm just on that cusp, and my friends and I always talk about this of like, at least we did know a pre-internet world where, like, I had to learn how to use a Thomas guide for my mom to be like, where's your birthday party you want to go to?
Yeah.
And it's like, get the Thomas guide out. And I'm like, okay, using a grid system to find a map.
That is specific to Los Angeles.
That is a very specific LA thing.
How quickly did those people lose their fortune?
Oh, my God.
The Thomas brothers.
The Thomases.
I feel like they had
poor
to, like,
sons of bitches.
I think Garmin had them by the balls and was like, hey, hand over the maps.
That was a huge thing. That was like everybody had a Thomas guide.
As soon as she came
to
LA, you had to get a Thomas guide.
And it was just a series of maps, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because LA is very.
All you knew was like a zip code or maybe the block number of your street, looked in the back, found it, and then just from there, like try and picture it, like zoom out and be like, okay, where is that relation to in the freeway I'm going to take?
Right.
And yeah, so those are the kinds of skills. But yeah, I definitely. But I guess it's weird. You know, I didn't really start using the internet to even like for my education until probably sixth, seventh grade. So I went for a long time like having to use like the Dewey Decimal System and encyclopedias and stuff like that.
You know, it's weird though. Like my kid is 11 and a lot of stuff he's learning, you know, memorizing or supposed to memorize, I know he's never going to need to know. And it's so easy to look up. It's like, should kids still be learning the same things that we learned without the internet?
Or it's a good question.
You know, we were always like, why do I have to know this? But they literally,
they really don't.
That is a valid question.
Yeah. Right. Why learn any information? Like, all you need to do is learn skills for finding the information and also learning survival skills in case, like, all the internet goes out and
all
the
information is taken from you.
Right.
Yeah. So you should learn how to Google and start a fire. Right. And that's about
exactly.
it.
Yeah, you're good. You're set. But what comes first, learning how to start a fire or learning how to Google how to start a fire?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the new philosophical question of our era.
But that is the one piece that you have to kind of store in the old memory bank.
Right.
Everything else just stored on Google, like our email. But I do think that we will look back in 100 years or people who are still alive in 100 years and be like, I
that
can't
was pretty
believe
arrogant,
that's
Jack.
What, yeah, we will.
We will look back in 100
when
years.
When I am 138 years old.
But you know what? You might live that long.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're just looking at me and seeing I'm in great health and you're like, wow, this guy. Yeah, no, that's people think that there might be a great leap forward in life expectancy.
Longevity.
In the not too distant future. But I do think we will look at the things that we learn, the way we educate our children today, and be like, that was a leftover. There's a lot of things that I think are leftover.
Right. Yeah. And
cursive. We still teach kids cursive,
I think. Oh, God.
But why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen people's penmanship now?
No.
I've seen some kids write down, like, what the fuck are you writing?
Yeah.
Like, do you know how to write?
It does help you think to be able to write on paper. It helps you think. But there's also so much information now that you have access to that, like, say, 100 years ago, when you were just learning state capitals and states, you know, just to use internet or computer terms, there's like maybe 1 gigabyte of information a person had to know for their entire life.
Right.
And now, when I was your all's age, I barely knew who the president was. And you guys probably know intricate details of policy now, just because it's all over the place. Like, there's so much being thrown at you that what wasn't thrown at, like, 30 and 20-somethings a while ago.
I think a lot of that is Trump, though. I think a lot of that is just what a great president or current president. No, just like how...
Wait, what?
Lori started sweating. She's like, what the fuck? Oh, Anna, what did you book me on? What about feminists, Lori? I mean, come on.
I love the MAGA network. It's my favorite.
I think the young people had to fuck up the country and like put it in a state of crisis before they were like, okay, now we really need to learn this shit. And now I agree that people are a little bit more plugged in.
It was the boomers that fucked it up, though.
Oh,
let's be clear.
Yeah. No, that's for sure.
And then Gen X just sort of wasn't big enough to really have an impact. And now, to me, it's like it's an amazing battle between millennials and boomers this next election.
Yeah.
And time is on your side because they're dying.
Right. I didn't realize millennials are even bigger a generation than the boomers. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
It's just millennials are more like modest, so they don't give themselves the name like the baby boomers. It's like, we are a boom.
We're too fucking broke.
Right, exactly.
Trying to figure out how to like afford housing and shit.
Right.
We're not like, millennials, let's get together and show everybody who we are.
The babygasm.
You don't have a war.
Right. That's true.
To come off. Well, I mean, I guess that's the greatest generation. But they famously sort of came off a war and came into this time of happiness. And you guys sort of just were dumped during a recession into the planet.
And I mean, we've had small wars, but so the baby boomers. We've had war. Not the war to end all wars.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like most 80s kids were born out of like coke-fueled like trysts. So like me.
Yeah.
My parents always told me, like, look, if you weren't for cocaine in the 80s, like, I was doing good.
So. I think all of our parents were some version of high at some point in the pretty soon before we were conceived. So that's why we're all so smart. What is something that's underrated, Lori?
Trees.
No.
What?
I'm just joking.
You should see his backyard, all cement.
Yeah, just pave it.
Yeah, pave it.
Every human being should be planting like a tree a day.
That's so funny. I was just telling Her Majesty, my girlfriend, that we should put a tree in the ground because we just have a new house. And like watching it grow, like I remember when we first moved into a house as a kid, my parents were like, we're planting a tree. So you will see over time, like how it works and everything like that. And we always got gifts of trees, like from like my parents' friends. They would always be like, here's a tree for your house.
Oh, neat.
We don't do that anymore. But I was like, I want to put a tree down because like, especially when you see a tree that's like really old, you're like, someone thought 70 years ago.
Yeah, they're dead and you get to.
I'm going to take a risk on putting a little sapling here, but eventually this thing will be massive and someone will reap the benefits.
Yeah.
And it's good for the environment and it's good for morale just to see greenery. Yeah.
My kids are just going to carve some stupid shit into a wet concrete block.
Right.
Like they do. Like our neighborhood has like 1950 something like carved in and like initials. Yeah. But that's the stupid version. The tree thing is a good idea. Yeah, I used to play in nature all the time. Like, I had woods by my house, and I would just go out there.
Wow.
Those are, like, my favorite memories.
Lucky.
Yeah.
How
was the valley, Miles?
The valley? San Fernando Valley? I had one motherfucking
Encino
lemon tree.
Woods.
Yeah, like, by the, like, literally hung out by the L.A. River. Like,
oh, my God.
Go down, like, overpasses. And we had one lemon tree that I would climb up in as a kid because I would just like to be, like, climbing trees was fun, and if you got high enough, you could just be like, I'm going to hide and make my mom panic like I was kidnapped.
Right.
And then I'll come out when she's like, where are you?
I'm in the tree, Mom.
Oh, we just did that at the mall, man. Just hide under the clothing racks.
Clothing racks, yeah. Shout out to my grandma who was like literally left to call my parents to apologize that she had lost me.
Yeah.
And I was just hiding in the clothing racks.
Oh, my God. Like,
oh, I'm like,
yeah, but I would say that from maybe 4 to 10, it's cool to like live in the suburbs, buy a forest and be able to play in there. But then like once you're a teenager, I hung out at the Dayton Mall. And you had
Dayton, Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you had like cool culture and lived in Los Angeles. So I think you had me beat there.
Hey, Dayton is home to some of the greatest funk bands ever. So
don't
sleep on that.
Tires.
Dayton is a great complex town. People from Dayton got mad at me. It's a love-hate relationship, guys.
I worked in Dayton many times at Joker's Comedy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very famous.
It was, I've never encountered an audience that was 100% chain smokers. But
I
have in Dayton.
Dayton.
I would have to just throw clothes away. You couldn't wash and shave my head at the end of the week. Like, couldn't wash the smoke out of me.
They're like, Sinead O'Connor impersonator. They're like, no, it's because of the smoke in here.
Lori, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know based on personal experience or just information you Googled
that you have
isn't
to,
true?
That you have to wait a half hour after you eat to go swimming.
There you go.
You can eat
one
in
of the
pool.
Classics.
Right.
Yeah.
And have a good workout. I mean, I wouldn't suggest it.
No.
Because your food will get wet. But
is that a thing moms tell you? Because
I think so, yeah.
They didn't just want you to have fun immediately?
Right, yeah.
It is
basically.
Weird. Where did that come from? I think it's maybe to justify the adult swims that would happen at public pools.
Oh, that's...
Public pools used to be a much bigger thing. And yeah, you had to get the kids out of the pools to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I found it. Oh. The myth was that while you're digesting, all your blood will be diverted away from your arms and legs towards your stomach's digestive tract. And if your limbs don't get enough blood flow, then you're at risk of drowning.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I got the justification. It's just, what was the big lifeguard? Was that who was behind it?
Yeah.
Who caused it?
Big lifeguard.
Yeah. Who knows?
It might have been also an attempt to make sure kids peed before they went in the pool.
Ooh.
Right? So
that's
if you just
smart.
Had some sort of liquid... You want to make sure.
I'd love to find the person behind it's like, it wasn't about that.
It was not, man.
It was chaos.
Follow the money.
He's a lifeguard who lost 10 swimmers
right.
He ate right after lunch.
He got in, his arms like, oh, I can't swim.
But I do remember I grew up thinking that I would throw up and drown if I got in the pool a half hour. I really thought that was a firm cutoff and always stuck by it until today. And now, Laura, you have freed me.
Years of bondage outside
chains
of the pool.
Are off.
All right, let's get into the events of the day. We're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking and doing about today. And breaking news, when we're recording this, presumably not when you're listening to it, ABC this morning canceled Roseanne.
Yeah.
After they looked up racism in the dictionary. And
this matches, I guess, with what Roseanne was tweeting.
So what did Roseanne tweet?
Well, this morning she went on a rip. First, she came at Chelsea Clinton for suggesting that maybe she was related to a family member of George Soros, that old right-wing that boogeyman that they love to conjure up.
I don't know a single liberal who's ever met George Soros. The only time I hear of him is via Fox News and people with conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so old. I don't even know if he exists, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, sure.
Dude, he's from the Holocaust. He's super old.
You just don't know you've met liberals who have met George Soros.
They've
they
all
don't
met
even
him.
Know him.
Yeah, dude.
I've only met actors portraying right.
Exactly.
True.
So yeah, she came at him, and Chelsea Clinton was like, just for your information, my middle name is not Soros, it's Victoria. Was very kind. She's like, but thank you. And then Roseanne was like, well, you don't know, during the Holocaust, he was selling out Jews to the Nazis, blah, blah. And so... That was the beginning. Uh-huh. Then there was a thing. Someone had tweeted something about Valerie Jarrett, who's a former Obama aide. And underneath this Twitter thread, she replied, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ, which are Valerie Jarrett's initials. So she did the time-honored anti-black racist thing of comparing black people to apes.
Uh-huh.
And then threw in some Islamophobia in there just to top it off. And then afterwards, I think clearly because the internet blew up at her and was like, what the fuck is going on? ABC, everyone was telling ABC to cancel it. She had an apology where she said, it was a joke in bad taste and I regret talking about her politics and her looks. And Sure, but for someone who thinks they're so smart that they can see the deep state and right. Comet ping pong and all these other QAnon and all these deep conspiracies, you can't even tell the difference between racism right. and a bad joke.
Also, I regret commenting on her looks is like suggesting that, I don't know, it's not like I regret evoking the deep-seated racism of, you know, just horrible white supremacy. It's like, yeah, my bad for being superficial yeah. in my comments that were wild racist.
It also annoys me that she used the construct of a great roast joke is
right.
Your,
right.
You are, you know, A plus B, equals
a baby.
You.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
had a baby, right.
And then she just picked imagery that was very racist and went that way. And,
yes.
And then it's like, oh, it's just a bad joke. And yes, it was a very bad joke.
Terrible joke.
Yeah, a bad racist joke.
It was a lazy joke and a racist joke. And to not understand the history behind it.
Right.
That
but that's where you go,
so
you
gross.
Know that was racist because yes. you were making a racist comment to get mm-hmm. your fellow racists excited about yeah. your quote unquote joke. And we all know what's going on. So afterwards, everyone was like criticizing ABC because they had really not said anything. And then a few hours later, they said, okay, season 3 is canceled. Wanda Sykes tweeted pretty quickly. She's like, I will not be returning to the Roseanne show. As I think she's a consulting producer. So
she
yeah.
did that first and then ABC canceled it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to create a lot of debate because Roseanne was very popular and, you know, the right mega heads like are going to say this is PC culture run amok. I would just say that I think ABC should keep the show. They need to Valerie this shit. There was an 80s sitcom called Valerie, and the lead actress, the titular Valerie, went into negotiations in the offseason and was
Valerie Harper, right?
I think so,
yeah. Yeah, from Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you are going to be difficult with us? Well, screw you. We're going to just kill your character off. And the next season, it became the Hogan family. And the first episode was, I remember this because it was Jason Bateman was one of the sons, and he came in with like a piece of burnt metal from her car that she had died in and made a joke about the piece of burnt metal.
He's already recovered from his grief.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're already doing sitcom jokes about mom being dead, and then they just moved on without skipping a beat. And,
wow.
Perfect. I mean, she came after Valerie Jarrett, so why not Valerie her now?
Just Valerie this shit.
When Roseanne said VJ, now if she had meant Victoria Jackson, would we all be having this conversation?
No.
No, we'd be like, you know what? Yes,
then I'd be
I
like,
agree.
What's wrong with your eyes?
Right.
Victoria Jackson is so blonde and white looking.
Right.
I'm sorry, do we have a disconnect on what an ape looks like?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, this is just capitalism, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because I think the woman who is the head of programming at ABC is a woman of color, too,
right.
who even signed off on Roseanne coming back and things like that. So I think, put in a very tough spot because I think most people were like, you have to do something. If you're ABC, you're Disney. Like, is this what Disney believes, too?
Right.
But, the other thing that I noticed, too, on I forget which website, I think Think Progress sort of aggregated how many media outlets just sort of obscured the fact that it was racist by describing it in every single way except using the word racism or racist comments. Like
her tweet or the show?
This tweet, this specific moment this morning about her tweets at Valerie Jarrett. They were like, some people were like, she waded into racial waters was one. Fox News tweeted, Roseanne Barr quits Twitter after offending with statements about Chelsea Clinton, former Obama aide Valerie Jarrett. That was just it, just offending them. Washington Post said racially charged. Again, I think this kind of speaks to the culture that we're in now where a lot of conservatives get up in arms when racism is described for what it is. And they're like, well, this, again, the PC culture run amok thing. And the same thing, too, when people sort of begin to fear the backlash of, you know, actually calling out bad ideas for what they are and the right maybe spinning it as, oh, this is suppression of thought or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you made a terribly racist comment, let's call that racism. We don't have to say waded into racial waters.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure it's in her contract that she's not allowed to be racist on Twitter.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's got to be. They must have thought about this and she was just, thinking she was big enough and the show had done well enough that she could just do this. But I'm honestly not even kidding about the Valerie thing. There's so much talent involved with that show that's not her.
Yeah.
And
so you're saying if Roseanne were to die in from opioid addiction.
Exactly.
Right. Because
they already set up her opioid addiction. It's great to have a show about a, you know, socioeconomic bracket that is like rarely depicted in mainstream pop culture. A lot of those people are dealing with opioid addiction and people passing away from opioid addiction. And, you know, maybe they could use some laughs.
You could call it, instead of Roseanne, you could call it Roseanne IP, R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Roseanne in peace.
And also,
exactly.
And also, it would be mocking her that, like, we have your IP now.
Yeah.
We have your name.
RIP, intellectual property too, Mom.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to give a quick sports update. It was a big sports weekend.
Yeah.
Bad sports day yesterday for the GOP.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself. The Rockets had one of the more embarrassing losses. At one point, they missed 27 straight threes. This is a team that has openly tempted the gods by being like, yeah, all we do is shoot threes and layups. That's all we do. And they died by the three horrifically. But prior to the game, old Tedward was there courtside.
Yeah.
And he's apparently a huge fan of the round ball.
Huge basketball fan, as we know, Ted Cruz. I mean, he made an appearance, I think, during the primaries in Indiana, you know, one of the great basketball states.
Yeah. Basketball central.
And referred to, I believe, I mean, Jack, you know a little bit more about basketball than I do.
Hoops.
The thing that it goes into is called a basketball hoop.
Yeah. Or the basket.
Basket or a rim.
Right.
But I think Ted Cruz called it a basketball ring. But my ears may deceive me.
Yeah,
you
might have missed that.
You know, the amazing thing is that basketball ring.
Nope.
Here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
Oh, God.
That sounds familiar.
And there is nothing
dramatic
that Hoosiers cannot do.
Ugh.
Oh, cool.
What an ass-kisser.
What a fucking asshole.
And then
ass-kisser.
Super producer Nick Stumpf pointed out that he may have just, well, not may, he was just ripping off the movie Hoosiers when he said that.
He stole that from if Indiana had a state movie, that would be
exactly.
It. So, I mean, maybe it was just a reference, but the one thing that Hoosiers definitely didn't do, call the basketball hoop a basketball ring.
Yeah, in that clip, it's funny because you see a woman, like, as he gestures to the rim, when he says ring, she looks over like, what the fuck? Is he called a ring? Does he
basketball
know where he is?
Ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, boxing, they fight inside a ring.
Right, exactly.
But there's no basketball ring.
The best thing
other than the championship ring, Ted.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
The Rockets will not be getting now, thanks to you and your fucking tweet that cursed them.
He's done it before, though. He did it before an Astros game.
He tweeted, this time he tweeted a clutch city, which is like the exact opposite of what happened.
Right.
And now we have another Warriors-Cavs finals.
Is this the fourth year in a row?
4 years in a row. That has never happened in the history of the NBA, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. There's never been the same teams meeting 4 years in a row in the championship game. And it's almost a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to win at this point, it sucks. we really needed the Rockets to pull that off.
Not if you're from Northern California.
Are you from Northern California?
Yeah, I am.
Are you a Oakland Warriors fan?
No. But I'm just tired of watching men do things. So I've sort of backed off of those kind of sports. But I will tell you that, and just to contribute to the Ted Cruz conversation, he is the most sexually repellent man I could think of on top of me. And do you guys remember the debate where he had food in his mouth?
Yes, in the corner, like it was just chilling.
Little white stuff?
Yes, yeah. It is so sickening. And when I think of it, I just get disgusted inside and my vagina tightens close. It closes up. So
that's your take on Ted Cruz.
Yes. And the NBA.
Yeah. Everything you see. Shout outs to the WNBA.
Yeah. Also yesterday, what else happened in the world of sports?
Rudolph Giuliani, the man who we are seeing just descend into senility before our eyes as he defends the president, he was at Yankee Stadium on Memorial Day to celebrate his 74th birthday. And, you know, he's a kind of a figure in
New York. He's a lifelong honorary Yankee.
Yeah.
I mean, that city loves Rudy Giuliani.
They
right? They still call their delicious tap water Rudy Juice, or at least they did 10 years ago.
Did they?
Really? I've never heard that before.
That's what my sister called it. She's like a cool New Yorker.
Oh, wow.
Cool, hip New Yorker talk.
Did he make the water better?
Yeah, tap water kind of improved under him, and so...
I didn't know that.
All right,
that
Rudy Juice. Well, yeah. See, I'm sure they remember those things, like, and also how he led the city out of 9/11,
right.
Things like that.
He can't squander all of that good faith, right?
Yeah, well, despite everything he's done. So check this out. This is during the Yankee game when they're going around announcing people's birthdays, and they get to Rudy Giuliani, and the crowd erupts.
Right.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday to Mayor Giuliani.
I guess they've been
kind of... such a smile in that guy's voice.
He probably thought Bruce Springsteen just walked in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way that's
saying Rudy.
I wish there was footage of what his reaction was. Like, I wonder if he got up and, like, took his hat off and was like, yes, thank you. Oh, they were booing. Never mind.
Took his teeth out and just... good sports weekend also for America because Boston lost. And LeBron... confirmed as at least the second best in NBA history. I don't know.
Do you think Michael Jordan is the best?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. And it's tough because somebody had a tweet over the weekend. I think it was Logan Trent from Cracked who tweeted something about like how it's different. We should just have different eras of the best ever because like Bill Russell was the GOAT in his era. They won like 30 championships in a row, like an annoying number of championships in a row. But he would not be the best ever today.
No,
and I don't even think Jordan would be the best ever.
What about Kareem?
Kareem was the best in his time. That he actually listed. That's funny that you say that because he listed Bill Russell, Kareem, Jordan, and then LeBron. And Kareem was the controversial one. I was like, Kareem.
Interesting.
Okay.
And Magic not in
no Magic.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, he went Kareem right to MJ. I would have gone Magic in between. Anyways, so yeah, happy offseason to Boston.
No personal vendettas at all.
No. I'm just saying happy offseason. You guys had a great season, and that was adorable when Jason Tatum dunked on LeBron. Yeah, if you come at the king, you know the rest. Also, speaking of Boston, there was a Harvard study that's, you know, horrifying, but confirms what I think we have speculated about here on the Daily Zeitgeist. So they looked into the number of deaths that are attributable to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico and have come up with a number slightly above the 64 that the Trump administration
64.
Had thrown out there.
They were only about like 75 times off.
Yes. It's 4,600 is the number of deaths that Harvard is saying over 4,600 is the number of deaths that Harvard says are attributable to the hurricane. So just to put that in perspective, because I think in the aftermath of a lot of these superstorms, people were referring back to Katrina and saying, you know, at least this isn't as bad as Katrina. And the death toll of Katrina was 1,833 across all the states. And Puerto Rico, they're thinking 4,600. And that dropped Bush's approval rating into like the 20s, caused Kanye West to say something really smart. and the fact that it's in more slow motion this time and that like with Katrina, it was like 5 days of just the government fucking up. And here it's been months and months
of
and months
neglect,
of complete neglect. And also presumably the fact that it's brown people who speak a different language.
Who can't vote.
Right. Who can't vote. But clearly that is something is making a difference because this is not the defining story of the year like Katrina was. Or maybe the country is more racist than it was back then. But
I think we're just not really treating this as a story of Americans are being left to perish in an unnecessary way. Like when you look at it, a third of those deaths were preventable in the sense that people perished because of delayed or interrupted medical care. So that's people who had medical treatments that had to get at hospitals or diabetics or things like that. Like those are just things like as your infrastructure crumbles and you don't address, those people are very vulnerable and they would naturally be at risk to die unnecessarily.
And also it's an island. Do you think if the same thing happened to Hawaii, you know, if say what the lava situation gets way, way worse and there's that many deaths in Hawaii, do you think this government would have the same, I don't give a shit?
No, because people can vote in elections. Those people can vote for president.
But they always vote Democrat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm sure at the same time, I don't think their calculus is that blatant. We're like, oh, well, they can't vote. They don't care. I think it's just sort of less of a priority for the people who are putting in the aid. I'd imagine that any bona fide state would get proper response from the government.
Right.
And I think because Puerto Rico is a commonwealth, they just feel like it's sort of like people just have this weird thing. I think a lot of people were reminded, especially in the immediate aftermath of the hurricane, that they're like, remember, Puerto Ricans are American citizens who are like that need to be treated with the same dignity that we care for people in Louisiana or Florida or Hawaii, California, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes it exceptionally, you know, troubling, because it seems like for the longest time, the people on the ground in Puerto Rico were waving their hands saying, hello, like we have real problems here. And I think, because they're on an island too, I think it's even easier for people in the media, for us here on the mainland or whatever, to sort of be like, oh, yeah, that's right, Puerto Rico. But I think this is something, hopefully, that will spur some kind of change. I mean, I know there are a lot of people going over there from Congress to try and like talk to the people and say like, hey, we care about you. I don't represent you, but I want you to know I'm trying to do something for you,
right?
Despite the utter lack of effective response.
I was just kind of looking and comparing the two sort of responses and scandals, Katrina and Maria. And, you know, Bush at the time told FEMA they did a good job, and that was a huge scandal because they obviously clearly fucked it up, and, you know, he backed away from that, and that was considered a huge blunder. Trump, like, in the immediate aftermath of Maria, was telling people of Puerto Rico that the responders can't stay there forever and that they, like, created a terrible financial situation for themselves.
Yeah.
And just, like, I wonder if there's, like, a shamelessness, like, he almost steers into the swerve, like, so much that it's just, like, you can't even fucking comprehend of how horrible, like, it is, and it's just... It just explodes.
Or in his like sort of paint by numbers, neo like conservative like thinking is brown people who need help are leeches on the system.
Yes.
So it's like, oh yeah, look, we can't be here the whole time to help you get back on your feet. I mean, come on, at some point those bootstraps got to kick in, and you got to pull yourself up.
He probably wants to put a wall around Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
he doesn't even know where it is.
He just wants to take a couple slick jump shots with the paper towels, get the photo up. And then be like, all right, mission solved, mission accomplished.
Yes.
We also, as a nation, may have had like catastrophe fatigue under the Bush administration. Where 9/11, which was preventable, and Katrina, which was not preventable, but definitely we could have done a much better job. It some kind of barrier has been broken. And now we're like, oh, this thing happens to us every year, maybe. And also, I think right from the election, Trump for 50% or more of the population was so unacceptable that this is just the 95th thing where you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Whereas Bush was, you know, people were infuriated that the Supreme Court gave him the election, but at least you're like, well, he was a governor and we know his dad. And so he seemed a lot more legitimate. So when he kept the second term of screw ups, it maybe turned the 5% of the population that was like, well, what can he do? What harm can he do?
Well, I think people just need to take the immutable truth of it all is 4,600 American people died and there was a terrible response and many of those deaths were preventable. And I think that's the conversation. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had more of sort of like, we need to look at FEMA. We need to look at the government's response and like really ask for like real answers here. Like there needs to be like investigation and hold people accountable.
And Puerto Rico needs to have a voice in Congress.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't. You know? Yeah.
They might have
there's some Puerto Rican American Congress people, but they don't represent Puerto Rico.
No, they don't.
Yeah. There's also the fact that they have politicized literally everything to the point that I'm sure they're going to look at this report and be like, oh, that's just, you know, the liberal media. Because, I mean, in the aftermath of the hurricane, the way the media was covering it, being like, man, there's really a lot of people without power. He was like, oh, that's just the liberal media trying to. It's a combination of things, but I also think it is that things have just become so politicized that part of the Trump administration's overall goal has been to create a world, and this is exactly Russia's propaganda strategy, create a world where there are no objective truths so that you can't
really never be called on something.
Can't like be wrong because there are no objective truths and people's minds are just exhausted. And yeah. I think it's worked.
Succeeded. People need to think, if you're getting so up in arms about people fucking taking a knee to draw attention to police violence as, oh, they're disrespecting the flag.
Yeah.
Well, what about the disrespect to these American citizens? They're not inanimate objects.
Right.
You know, they're human beings too.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and then we'll be back to close things out. And we're back. And we wanted to talk about a Twitter thread that is now turning into a couple mainstream media outlets are picking it up. It's this story that 1,500 children were lost by the U.S. government in the aftermath of crossing the border, basically. And it seems like the story is... So the person who wrote this Twitter thread is a lawyer who kind of works in these circles and has a lot of lawyer friends who are specifically working on... you know, children who come across the border unaccompanied and need to, you know, be supervised as they're released to family members. And the thread is basically saying that that story is mistaking the idea that government immigration officials are not immediately able to locate these kids with them completely losing the kids. Essentially, this government branch, the ORR, which is the Office of Refugee Resettlement, takes these kids, puts them with either family members or friends, you know, whoever they think is going to look out for the children's best interest.
Yeah, never like a stranger. Like
right.
someone
they're
that
not just like
actually
putting
know.
Them out there on the right. street and then like, oops, we turned around and they're not there anymore. They're with family, they're with friends, and then the idea that they lost track of them is just that they then try to reach out to check in on them and are not able to contact those kids. And the point that this lawyer is making is that these children haven't gone missing. A lot of times they are with family who, you know, don't necessarily want them to be contacted by immigration authorities
right.
or don't themselves want to be contacted by immigration authorities because, you know, ORR, the people who are having trouble tracking these kids down, work hand in hand with ICE and with ICE and are, you know, immigration authorities who are the same people who are separating children from family members and stuff. So the idea, I think people associated this with the story that ICE and other immigration officials are separating parents and children. And they're like, and then we're losing those children. That's not what's happening. And in fact, you know, by focusing on the idea that these 1,500 children have gone missing, it almost suggests that the ORR should be keeping closer tabs on the children and be like less likely to release them to family members and friends. And so it's just a misleading story that kind of got away from, I think, the New York Times and AP, according to Snopes, were the first outlets to really report on this. And it got conflated with the story of ICE separating parents from children,
right.
which is happening and which is a terrible story. But the lost 1,500 kids is actually misleading. And also, it's either benign or it's almost kind of harmful to say that those kids got lost, because then ORR might be more likely to, you know, keep those children in custody and less likely to release them to people who presumably have their best interests in mind more so than ICE and ORR,
yeah,
or immigration authorities.
Or it lends to a talking point. It's like, oh, well, if we need to find these kids, and it's like even stricter enforcement, like just like
right.
literally trying to look for these kids and more, you know, probably more deportations. At the very least, I'm sure people who are hardline immigration people, they don't mind this conflation of stories, because then that allows them to sort of operate in this thing of like, yeah, you see, we got to really keep tabs on these people. And it will probably deter people from actually seeking asylum here, because these are the kinds of stories they hear and they're like, oh my God, like this, this really might not be the place to come.
Right. So that's
well, that's a good explainer, you guys.
Hey,
I know.
Well, yeah, we were guilty too of conflating the two because we saw it and we're like, "Holy shit!" But then, like anything, experts come in.
Yeah,
and like,
sure.
Hold on, hold on.
PBS did have a headline that they were being given to sex traffickers. Like what?
So,
oh my God!
I think there were some people that were, but again, these were all kinds of stories that were being overlapping with each other in the same general area, and we're like, oh, this is the broad stroked story of about this.
There is a horrifying story of ICE and immigration authorities separating children from their parents, and you know, keeping their parents in custody, and that's a story that everybody needs to follow, keep an eye on. It's fucking horrible what's happening. But it's just we should also keep track of the 1,500 children being lost. It's just a thing where you should know what the actual
what that means functionally. It's not that they were misplaced. It's the same. I think she used the metaphor of sort of like, you know, once a prisoner is released from a prison, prison doesn't go, oh, we lost this prisoner.
They've handed custody over, or whatever.
But yeah, the other thing too is Donald Trump used. You know, there was this report by the ACLU, which was about a lot of abuses that was happening to migrant kids that was that were being held by Customs and Border Enforcement in the Obama administration. And a lot of like liberal activists were mistakenly tweeting images saying, look what Trump's doing to these kids. But it turned out this was during Obama's administration. And he sort of took that to spin his whole immigration policy to frame it on the Democrats. Because he tweeted, he's like, put pressure on the Democrats to end the horrible law that separates children from their parents once they cross the border and into the U.S. Like, whoa, this is your policy.
Yeah, and they're not in power.
You
need to put pressure on your own people.
Exactly.
And yourself.
But he,
because this is your idea.
But this was a perfect Trump tweet. He didn't know the difference between there and the possessive there. And also, you brought up the wall. And, of course, MS-13. So...
You know,
all the buzzwords.
He has ghostwriters on some of his tweets that deliberately misspell stuff.
Right.
Is that true?
I think the New York Times wrote about it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like that, I think that he gets.
And also to blend in with his idiot tweets.
Right. Well, they give him like three options, and then he's like, which one do you like? And I'm like, okay, that one. And then boom. Jesus.
And also, he never physically tweets, he dictates his tweets.
To Dan Scavino.
Or whoever.
Right.
Which makes him a dictator.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, which.
Sound the alarm.
I'll be here all night, folks.
We found a legend.
Woo! boom. Sorry, I did want to say the Twitter thread is from a lawyer named Josie Duffy Rice. People should follow her. She tweets a lot of really interesting stuff on this subject.
And thoroughly explained the mistake that we were all making about this story.
Yes, and we're going to try and have her on at some point, but I'm sure she is being just drowned in media requests right now. So
from first
maybe
rate
in like
podcasts.
5 years. yeah, exactly.
Not a second rate one.
Right,
course.
Second to third rate. We're trying to get to second rate.
Maybe.
And,
does she know you have that air horn sound?
That's
and
a good point.
And if she did, would that move you up in her eyes?
I don't know. I guess, in any correspondence, it'll just have to be an audio clip.
Right.
Hello.
Hi, press
this
button.
They can't do this.
Yeah.
If you make a good one, they'll
do
this.
We have sound clips. What about this one? Oh, no. That was George Takei. Oh, no.
All right. And we do like to check in with the box office here and there, because movies do create a lot of these myths and misconceptions that we talk about. And... this past weekend, there was a big release. The Star Wars universe had another chapter released out into the world. It is the movie Solo, a Star Wars story. Miles, you saw it.
I saw
it. You said
it.
It's your favorite movie now.
Oh, my God. I paid $20 to see fucking nonsense.
Okay.
Truth be told, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I have different reactions, and I don't think Star Wars is one of those films that, again, no one can have a real objective opinion on, because you bring your own emotional baggage into every Star Wars movie, depending on what the the franchise meant to
you. And your relationship with your father.
Exactly. mine is terrible. So whenever they don't touch on this, I get incensed. But yeah, with Solo.
They don't touch on you and your dad.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, they didn't mention my dad by name. This is bullshit. But I still keep coming back, you know, because I keep thinking Lando might be my dad. anyway, but yeah, I mean, Solo, I don't know. It felt like a film that clearly had a lot of script changes, director changes, and right. It just was a little like wonky. I mean, I've talked to some people who were like, oh, I felt it was fine. But these are kind of more casual Star Wars people who right. Who aren't like just outraged by everything. And I wasn't outraged. Not even that it was like bad. It just fell flat and it didn't even capture sort of like the magic of Star Wars even. Like all the other films to me have. But like this one just felt really flat. And I was a little disappointed by that. Now, I don't know. People on Twitter can come at me and explain why, blah, blah, blah. But
Miles is playing it cool. When I asked him what he thought of the movie, he literally spit on the floor.
I spit on the floor, yes. Yeah. And then I peed myself in anger. but no, it was
making
just,
unbreaking eye contact with me the whole time.
This is how bad it was. Yeah, it just fell.
You do have nice concrete floors here.
Right, yeah, so yeah
that,
exactly.
We have that.
Easy to clean up.
But, exactly.
Is that why you went to the space? Well,
that's why we're joggers.
Miles can't control himself when he's angry, so we need a lot.
I can only wear jogger pants because they're tight around the ankle, so it just fills up my pants and won't go onto the floor.
But so in terms of box office performance, the movie was below expectations in America. It still broke 100 million, but still far below expectations. I think they were hoping for something closer to like 140 or so, 160.
Okay. Yeah.
And it absolutely tanked in China, which is a trend we're starting to see in
Star Wars
movies. Yeah. I think people think it's a combination of the fact that the original trilogy didn't really penetrate. Didn't really get into the Chinese like shared cultural touchstones.
Turns out they have their own mythology over
right,
there.
Right, exactly.
It's a 5,000-year-old
right
culture.
Exactly, and they also they're not great with ghosts, and there's a lot of like force ghosts and shit in the Star Wars movies, and I think. I've heard that also pointed to as a reason. There's just all
people
sorts
just
of
don't
stuff.
Care, and they're not connected to the franchise like they are in the U.S. or parts of Europe,
right.
Or even Japan. You know, like Japan. Yeah. Like I think Revenge of the Sith is like one of the all-time like greatest openings in Japanese box. Yeah, Episode 3. Okay.
Wow.
That just shows you, like, people are bad over there, but it makes sense because there's more of a cultural connection between Japan and America.
Well, yeah, they stole the entire aesthetic from Kurosawa movies. So.
And Jedi is based off the word Jidaigeki. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of
what
stuff.
What does that word mean?
Jidaigeki sort of literally translates to era drama. So for like most people, these are like samurai era, like period dramas. So yeah, that's why I think from there, George Lucas was like, oh, I like this. Like it's all about sort of the same thing. You're using swords, but future swords, and it's very honorable. And you know, there's like this very defined warrior culture. So
Oh, interesting. Do you think if they had an Asian lead, that would help in China?
Well, in The Last Jedi, they had a main character
a woman, right?
Yeah. Young woman whose name I'm drawing a blank
Wait,
on.
Wait, no. I think in Rogue One.
In Rogue One,
Rogue One, they had, I think, Donnie Yen in it.
And then, also Last Jedi.
Oh, and they had, who's the guy who played the blind Jedi? He's blind. He's a Broadway star. Oh God, John! I can't remember his last name. He's Asian American, and he was like two Star Wars ago. He played a blind Jedi in the marketplace. The scene is just coming to me.
Oh, okay.
No one.
I think that's Rogue One.
Is it Rogue One?
What you're talking about is
okay.
Rogue One.
Maybe I didn't see them in the proper order. Sorry.
I saw it on a plane.
Yeah.
That was three ago.
JetBlue is actually the best place to see.
Oh, yeah. That's the way that they intend those movies to be seen.
In C12E? Yes.
On a four-inch screen, like three.
On a horribly scratched DVD.
Right.
So
while you're munching on blue chips. Yeah.
But I can... Also, like, if you look at... So The Force Awakens, I feel like, was the least reliant on previous sort of mythology, and that's the one that did the best in China, I think, and also did the best in America. And then Last Jedi, I feel like, was There's so much Luke Skywalker, and if you're not into the original trilogy, he's an annoying character.
Right.
He's like not that cool. He's just whining the whole time.
Take these power converters, like a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, he's like the Unabomber. He's just living alone in a shack.
Yeah. And this movie, the entire premise for seeing it is like looking at Han Solo's origin story. So I think that explanation holds a lot of
water. Yeah, because there's a lot of winks to like the backstory of Han Solo that we've seen through the Harrison Ford character that I'm sure if you just went in to be like, oh, let's see this movie with no real connection to it, you'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But whereas movies like from the Marvel Cinematic Universe have done very well in China, and, you know, because those are all self-referential, but they're self-referential within a universe that has been created within the last, like, 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, if you're just going strictly off the movies, right, yeah.
Right. Like, you don't have to have been familiar with a separate generation of work to give a shit, essentially. So we'll see if this changes. You know, I for one am concerned for Disney. I mean, those guys need to catch a break. But we'll see if this changes how they think about, you know, their release strategy of one Star Wars a year.
But Disney's their new hit show Roseanne seems to be doing well. Right. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean that's the thing.
They even got a congrats from the president. Hot damn.
Uh oh. But yeah, I think the question was like, are people getting Star Wars fatigue, and that might be the case. I don't know. Or like, also, this just sounds objectively like a movie that had a very rough go in production.
Yeah.
And was kind of fucked up.
Stop making fucking prequels. Maybe that. Maybe stop making prequels.
I'm down for the Lando movie.
Oh, are they making a Lando movie?
That was the thing. Yeah, they're going to have, a Lando movie. Get Donald Glover in there.
No, it's just when you know specifically like how that character is going to die, maybe that's the problem. It's just like you know exactly where it ends for this person. So like, what's the dramatic tension?
Well, I mean, if it's a great movie, people will see it, right? I think the problem is it's not being reviewed as a great movie, right?
Think about Godfather 2. They had that whole prequel thing. That movie sucks. Nobody likes that.
It's one of the worst movies, right?
Yeah. But he turned it around with 3. That's the important thing.
Saved it. By God, he saved it.
Lori, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, see you, follow you?
I'm on Twitter as AnnieLori16, because I guess AnnieLori was taken when I joined.
You were
Twitter.
The 16th person. Yeah. AnnieLori1, no. AnnieLori2, no. AnnieLori3.
I'm very persistent, Miles. Yeah. I just wrote a book called Dead People Suck, and it's a comedy about hospice and cancer and funerals and losing a parent.
Yeah.
So
wow.
If that's in your life, you might enjoy that. And
what was your first New York Times bestseller?
It's called Shitty Mom.
Yeah.
That's a parenting book.
I am buying that for my wife soon. Not that she's a shitty mom, but
it's how to get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Including leaving your child in a car for a second just to run into 7-Eleven without
folks.
Getting arrested.
Yeah.
For
a moment.
It's 7-Eleven. You can see through the window.
Exactly. Right. Yes. And if you just like put a blanket over your baby and you're just running in to get coffee. You can't take a baby out. It's just a pain in the ass to get them out of the chair every single time.
Car seat? I helped my friend with a baby get her baby in car seat. I'm like,
total
no.
pain in the ass.
Car
yes.
You couldn't pay me to do this.
Suck.
It'll make your life a lot better if you figure out these little things.
Also, the blanket lets anybody, if they look in, they're like, nothing going
they're
on
like
here.
They're like, it's
nothing
laundry.
To steal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a moving pile of laundry.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're on your way to the laundromat.
Unless someone goes, it's a magical crying pile of laundry. I have to get it.
Get it. Miles.
Yes.
How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm great.
Cool.
How are you?
Where can people find you?
Oh,
follow
that.
You?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @MilesOfGray.
You can find me at @Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. We have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. That's going to do it for today. Miles, we also link off to the song that we ride out on. What is that going to
be? Well, okay, so this isn't like a cut. This is more of like to get people up to
date. This is a zeitgeist
thing. This is more a zeitgeist thing. So Pusha T, one half of the the group Clips, you might remember from the early 2000s, for Grinding. Him.
Also has a verse on Runaway.
Yes. And just Pusha T, you know, like a prolific cocaine rapper. We like, yes, we talk about his cocaine raps because he talks a lot about dealing cocaine and the intricacies of dealing cocaine. So he, over the week, or on Friday, put out an album called Daytona, produced by Kanye West.
Very good.
And the album's pretty good, despite the producer that he worked with being a total shithead.
Yes.
And what happened was there's a track on there called Infrared where he takes a shot at Drake, the prolific Canadian rapper, Aubrey Graham, and says, basically alludes to his use of a ghostwriter by the name of Quentin Miller, and basically it's kind of like, oh, you don't even write your own verse, like really low level beef
stuff. How can
you
write these wrongs if you don't write your own songs?
Oh, that's a hot take. And then so, you know, Drake kind of, you know, he's also a good rapper, it turns out. He put out a response track called Duppy Freestyle. Now, I'm led to believe that Duppy means ghost in the patois up there. So in this, he basically comes for Pusha T and Kanye West. Basically, Drake definitely got the better of Pusha T in this. And
he released it like a minute after Pusha T dropped his album. I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's right. It came out Friday night.
Yeah, it came out Friday night.
I think days before at an album preview party, we found out that there was a track on there that took shots at Drake because people on Twitter were like, oh, whoa, this thing just mentioned Drake or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but as we've all seen, Drake is a quick thinker and can come out.
He immediately called his ghostwriter.
Called his ghostwriter for a track called Ghost, which is weird. Interesting. But yeah, I think this one, he
kind of bodies him.
As the drag queen say, he read him for filth. And so we'll see what Pusha T does. I don't think he'll do much because he did not respond.
It's funny because Pusha T's kind of part is very like vague and sort of makes virtual. He never says Drake's name.
Right.
He just mentions his ghostwriter, Quentin, and Drake just comes for him.
Like, yeah.
Very openly and directly.
So he came for his neck.
Yes. So, yeah, we're going to listen to that. It's pretty good.
Duppy Freestyle.
Also, Daytona's a really good album.
Despite the problematic, shitty album cover that Kanye West had art direct.
But it's worth listening to.
It's, oh, no, man, I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah,
anyway.
No.
Anyway, for the reason why I'm ugly is the cover of the Daytona thing is because Pusha T has a background in cocaine dealing, so he'll have us believe it was a picture of Whitney Houston's bathroom, like at the height of her drug addiction. And a lot of people were like, yo, what are you doing?
Why?
Like, why is this the album cover?
Right.
Like, don't kick dirt on her name like that just to make a point of like how edgy you are. And again, Kanye was like, I had to pay $85,000 for that photo.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you, bro.
That's why you're good at spending money. All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
So if you rebuke me for working with someone else on a couple of V's, what do you really think of the nigga that's making your beats? I've done things for him I thought that he never would need. Father had to stretch his hands out and get it from me. I pop style for 30 hours, then let him repeat. Now you popping up with the jokes. I'm dead, I'm asleep. I just left from over by y'all putting pen to the sheets. Tired of sitting quiet and helping my enemies eat. Keep getting temperature checks. They know that my head overheats. Don't know why the fuck you niggas listen to Denim and Steve. Must have had your infrared wrong, now your head in a beam. Y'all are the spitting image of whatever jealousy breeds. Don't push me when I'm in album mode. You're not even top five as far as your label talent goes. You send shots, well, I gotta challenge those. But I bring calicos to the Alamo. I could never have a Virgil in my circle and hold him back cause he makes me nervous. I wanna see my brothers flourish to their higher purpose. You niggas leeches and serpents, I think it's good that now the teachers are learning. Yeah, your brother said it was your cousin and him and you. So you don't rap what you did, you just rap what you knew. Don't be ashamed, there's plenty niggas that do what you do. There's no malice in your heart, you an approachable dude. Man, you might have sold a college kids for Nike and Mercedes, but you act like you sold drugs for Escobar in the 80s. I had a microphone of yours, but then the signature faded. I think that pretty much resembles what's been happening lately. Please believe your demise will be televised. Yeah. And as for Q, man, I changed his life a couple times. Nigga was at Kroger working double time. Y'all acting like he made the boy when I was trying to help the guy. Yeah. Who gassed you to play with me? Man, you made this shit as easy as ABCs. Whoever's supposedly making me hits, but ain't got no hits, sound like they need me. My hooks did it, my lyrics did it, my spirit did it, I'm fearless with it, yeah. I really shouldn't have given you none of my time, cause you older than a nigga you running behind. Look, holla at me when you multi-million. I told you keep playing with my name and I'ma let it ring on you like Virginia Williams. I'm too resilient, get out your feelings. It's gonna be a cool summer for you. I told Weezy and baby, I'ma done them for you. Tell Ye we got an invoice coming to you, considering that we just sold another 20 for you.
be honest. The people.